First time I read this out loud in preparation for the sermon, I marveled at what Paul's doing here as he's pouring out his heart, and I marveled at the love and the joy that he has for the Lord, for Jesus. It's just all through the scripture. I mean, it's beautiful. Either like Paul or don't like Paul, you got to admit Paul loves God and loves what Jesus Christ had done for him. Now, I started in verse 2 instead of verse 4b because I wanted to give us a little context to the scripture which we read. One challenge, and Paul's had many challenges throughout his ministry, but one challenge that Paul has had again and again and again and again is that there's a group of people who were called the Judaizers. They were some early Christian Jews who felt that in order to gain salvation, that Jesus Christ offered, one had to first be circumcised. In other words, one had to be first a member of the people of Israel. That the salvation of Jesus was contingent on certain check marks in one's life. It wasn't righteousness by faith, it was righteousness by action. Paul saw this as limiting the salvation that God had given to us, the free salvation, the salvation that was based off of faith, off of knowledge of Jesus Christ only, not off of our own actions. Paul saw that our own actions, relying upon the flesh, was basically waiting for a disaster to happen. Because Paul realized that the flesh is not only temporary but weak. And couldn't attain salvation by itself. Only through the act and the love of Jesus Christ could salvation be found. Only that. Paul, though, however, this was a problem for him because the people, the Judaizers, they were cunning and they were good. And they started to get a following. Do you know why? Because of human nature. If I asked you, what do you like more? Let's pretend, visualize for a moment I'm asking. Well, here, let's use this. Pen. I did stuff this in my shirt for the sermon. I did just remember it again now, but pen. Pens are interesting things. Why do you use a pen? To write. Why would you use this pen? Because you know it works. Right? That's why you use a pen. Because you know it works. First time you write on a piece of paper with a pen and it doesn't work, what do you do with it? Because knowledge tells you if it doesn't work then, it's not going to work later. Right? Because our knowledge is based upon those things that we see, the things that we understand. It's based upon our tangible, physical experience with the world. And so when these Judaizers come up into the church and say, your salvation is based upon what you do, people like that because they can control that. They can get circumcised or not. They know if they have salvation or not. Because of whether they're circumcised or not. That's something they can tangibly experience. And so Paul's influence in the gospel that he has, which is a gospel based upon belief in Jesus Christ and the actions of Christ, not the actions of us, he was losing some people. And so he says to them, let me tell you something. If all of life was based upon our experiences, then I have better experiences than most of the people you listen to. He says, let me prove it to you. He says, these Judaizers, these people who say that they have righteousness through the law, let me tell you something. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Followed the law exactly to a T and circumcised on the eighth day. I am a member of the people of Israel. Not am I only a member, But I was born of the tribe of Benjamin, and I'm a Hebrew born of Hebrews. My parents weren't one Greek and one not. They were both Israelites. And he says, as to the law, I'm a Pharisee. He says, as to zeal, I proved my zeal for the law through persecuting the church. And as to righteousness under the law, I did everything perfect. And he says, do you know what that amounts to? A hill of beans. He says, all of that doesn't matter one. In fact, it's funny, in chapter 8, it says, in verse 8, it says this. Let me find it here real quick. For his sake I have suffered loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish. In fact, the Greek translation for rubbish is better translated into the word poo. He counts them all as poo because of what he had gained through the Lord. All of his credentials, everything that came in the past, everything that was marked in his life before Jesus Christ, it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything to him anymore. Because what he had gained through Christ is far more important than anything he had apart from Christ. What Paul's doing is counterintuitive to how we live our life, to how we think about our life. We feel that what we have in the past is what we build on to our present, and what we do in our present helps us build upon what we will experience in our future. Does that make sense? We go to history class to understand what was in our past so that we can build off of that or learn from it so that our future will be all that brighter. Paul's present, the way that he lived, his focus in life wasn't based upon what came in the past. But the way he lived in the present was based upon what will come in the future. It was based upon the hope that he received through Jesus Christ. Everything that came before Christ, he learned from. But what he learned was what he has now is far better than what he had then. I love what he says near the end here. He talks and he says, but I press on to make it my own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. What a challenging statement that can only be born from a faith in Christ who has our future secure. Challenging because this, as people who are so easily influenced by the tangible, the checklist of our life and how we're doing in the present is oftentimes grounded in the past. We compare how things are going with our society and our world and our life today by how things went yesterday. Things aren't going well today because yesterday we had so many different things. Culture is not great today because yesterday culture was so much better. Our life isn't all that hot today because yesterday we had all that we needed. Paul says, yesterday's yesterday. Today is tomorrow that Jesus Christ has completely within his hands. He gave joy to the Lord Jesus because his future was wrapped up in Christ. And he could face anything. And he faced a lot of stuff. He can face anything, not because of what his past told him, but he faced everything because of what his future told him. That he was going to be with Christ. And so, our challenge in our lives because of Jesus Christ is that what we face today, we face based not upon our experiences of yesterday. But what we face today, we do so because of what Jesus will bless us with tomorrow. Life everlasting. presence with him now and for all eternity. And we praise Jesus for that great and wonderful gift. And one way to praise the Lord Jesus for that gift is through communion, which we're going to celebrate today. And the neat thing about celebrating communion today is, as Stephanie said, or no, you or Elijah? No, it was you, Stephanie. It was what she had said, where two or more are gathered together, there is Jesus, Elijah. When Elijah's pray, where two or more are gathered together, there is Jesus with us. Not only are we celebrating communion today with one another, but today is World Communion Sunday. We are celebrating communion with all the world, with churches from South Korea, from Africa, from Asia, all over. Are going to be celebrating the fact that the body of Jesus Christ is one. That we here do not make up the entirety of the body, but it is we with the churches everywhere. And today is truly a celebration of that. Jesus, who was up in the upper room with his disciples on the night he was to be betrayed, with the knowledge that the disciples who were around him would indeed betray him, and the disciples who were around him didn't get everything, didn't understand everything that was going on, took the bread, and he blessed it, and he said, "This is my body shed for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me. This is my body broken for you." He took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is my blood shed for you and for the sins of many. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of me." Communion speaks to the fact that Jesus did not die for me or for just you or just you, but for all of us. That we may be part of the body. We may be there with one another when things are joyful and when things are tough. Knowing that with our presence also Christ is with us. We may have Christ to rely upon in all things. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love for each of us. And how you have showed that love by spreading your hands and dying for us upon the cross. We thank you, Lord, for a further show of that love through your Father, who has shown us that he desires to have us for all eternity by raising you from the dead. And so through communion, Lord, we get it both. We get your death, your resurrection, your love for us, and your desire to have us for all eternity. We ask you, Lord, to bless the elements, the bread and the juice, that for us they truly become the body and blood of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to bless our hearts and our minds, that as we receive this great and glorious gift, we may rejoice in you and give to you ourselves. And we ask you, Lord, for your blessing upon your body everywhere. Bless it that it may serve you in this culture and in this society, that it may show those around them that you, Lord, love them so very much. May your name be praised upon our lips, in our hearts, and through our actions. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.